950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, the start of a new week. It's a Monday edition of the show. Also got Sam Turnberg on the other side of the production glass. Two shades of glass between us now as we have a little divider here in the studio making things a little bit safer, but still able to see you on the other side there. Sam, how you doing today?
Not too bad. Good over here.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm sure you probably had a better weekend than me because I had something interesting happen to me yesterday. So sitting at home in the afternoon, I'm going to go over to the parents' place a little bit later on to celebrate Father's Day, and I get a knock on my door from my neighbor who lives below me. I'm in a condo, by the way. And she says, there's a leak coming down into my condo unit. So we went ahead and looked around and discovered my water heater was leaking from the bottom, which is never fun to deal with. So, yeah, I've been dealing with that over the weekend, and my situation is extra challenging because while I love the condo unit that I'm in, basically I have kind of this closet area where I have my washer, my dryer, my furnace, my AC, and my water heater. So it's this small little closet area, and it works out nice for the most part. Except when you have an issue with your water heater, because there's just about no way to get out there and to try to get the thing drained. So, yeah, once I called the plumber and had him out here, we had some fun trying to at least move the dryer out of that little closet space so we could even get through to the water heater to drain the stupid thing. But fortunately, we got that all taken care of and getting the water heater replaced. So that's been my fun over the past 24 hours or so. So yeah, that's never fun. It's never a good sign if your water heater is leaking from the bottom, because that pretty good sign that that thing is out of commission, got to get a new one. So yeah, that was fun to deal with. You ever had something like that happen to you, Sam? Water heater issues?
Not the water heater yet, but at my partner's house, right now it's the air conditioning, like the tube with all the condensation's been leaking. So that one's fun because it's getting pretty bad, actually. We've got to get that one. We just finished having the, what was it, something with like the main like sewer drain or whatever. So we had like sewage coming up in the basement shower, and had that one took forever because you had to go 2 days without any water to clear it out. That we just got done with that one. So we're hoping, quite the water heater yet, so I got to knock on wood and hope that one doesn't come up next.
I hope not. That's actually probably worse than my situation. Typically, yeah, if you have an AC issue, especially if it's central air conditioning, yeah, that's going to cost you a little bit more money than trying to replace a water heater. So I don't envy you whatsoever on that.
Well, thankfully, it's not my place, and it's, and my partner rents it, but it's their friend's place though, so unfortunately, hopefully they'll be able to get it fixed. But it's also not a condo unit, which gives you a little bit more breathing room there. We're not stuck in that tiny little closet. It's a pretty big open room.
That's
nice.
And it is one of the upsides to renting, because at least, well, technically the landlord is supposed to take care of those issues. So supposed to being the emphasis. Sometimes they don't, but hopefully, your partner has a good landlord and can get that issue taken care of. The joys of what can happen at home when you're sticking around at home during the pandemic. Although, really, the pandemic had nothing to do with it. I was going to figure out that this thing was leaking no matter what. By the way, speaking of the weekend, another person who didn't necessarily have the best weekend ever would, of course, be President Donald Trump, who held his rally over in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Saturday to an arena that was only a little more than half full. One of the tweets I saw on this said that Nickelback managed to sell out that arena twice, unlike President Donald Trump. So here's my terrible joke for today, Sam. I'm not a comedian, but I got to throw this out here since I find it kind of funny. Trump could never make it as a wise man, couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, rim shot there.
I was going to say, I think this is probably the 10th time I've said I really need to get a rim shot sounder on.
Yeah. Please don't use it for me. That's the extent of the joke telling you'll get from me on the show. But yeah, I saw that out there on Twitter. It kind of gave me a chuckle on that one. Speaking of more Trump rallies, he is set to go to Arizona later this week, which is a really interesting state as we get more into the political side of things, because Arizona is a very, very bad state for the Trump campaign if you look at the polling data there. And one of the reasons why that's happening is, well, what's occurring in that Senate race in Arizona, where the incumbent Republican Martha McSally, who was appointed by the governor Doug Ducey just last year, is facing off against Democrat Mark Kelly, who is an astronaut and the husband of former Representative Gabby Giffords, whose name you might remember. She was the person who was shot in the head at one of those mass shootings, unfortunately, probably almost a decade ago. And this race is tilted heavily towards Mark Kelly. In fact, on RCP, he has an average lead of 9.8 percentage points. And there's a number of reasons why this is occurring, and we're going to talk more about the Senate in just a second. Well, first up, he's very popular out in Arizona, being an astronaut, and he's a talented politician in that he's stayed relatively safe, hasn't said anything controversial. And then you have kind of the tainted campaign of Martha McSally, being she lost back in 2018 to Kyrsten Sinema, which is unbelievable when you think about it, because Sinema, the Democrat, isn't exactly the best candidate herself. So you're already running a Republican who lost in the prior election, so that hasn't helped things. But there's been indications that this could have a reverse down-ballot effect on the presidential race, because often when you talk about presidential races, you talk about the down-ballot effects and how they could impact races like a Senate race or a House race or the state legislature and so on and so on and so on. In Arizona, we're seeing sort of a reverse effect where it's the Senate race that is impacting the presidential level race, where because Kelly is polling so far ahead of Martha McSally, it's had an impact on the presidential race, where over the last 10 polls, it's actually been Biden leading Donald Trump in those last 10 polls, which is significant because that could nullify what potentially could happen in Wisconsin, which is obviously one of the battleground states here in the fall of 2020. We always talk about how Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, those are the three major battleground states. Well, if Arizona ends up flipping blue, that could essentially nullify what happens in Wisconsin, which that is one of the states where Trump has seen relatively decent polling data, at least compared to the rest of the states. But yeah, he'll be down in Arizona. Will the president, having yet another speech, another rally? And already the mayor of, I think it's Phoenix, where the speech is taking place, said masks are not going to be enforced. The requirement to have masks will not be enforced. So you're probably going to have the same type of thing that we saw in Tulsa over the weekend, with nobody in the crowd wearing any masks whatsoever. So I want to continue talking about these Senate races, though, because as I was bringing up this Mark Kelly in Arizona, very strong candidate. Now, as I look through his policy positions, they're not necessarily, they're my cup of tea. He skews a little bit more moderate than my preference. But as I look at that race and other Senate races taking place this fall, because ultimately, and I've stated this before on the show, the Senate is my priority, not so much the presidency. I think the Senate provides a much bigger upside than winning the presidency. And we can talk more about that on a future show, or you can go back and listen to the podcast, because I've discussed that at length, how you're really better off winning the Senate rather than the presidency. So going back to Mark Kelly, like I said, looking at his policy positions, yeah, they skew a little bit more moderate than my preference, but I can respect the fact that he is a very talented candidate and a good politician. And that does count when it comes to a lot of these Senate races. In fact, let's run down some of these, because if we look at the so-called choices of the establishment Democratic Party, it's kind of a mixed bag in terms of who is a good candidate and who is struggling for the most part. So let's run through some of these. In Iowa, just a few weeks ago, Teresa Greenfield, who very much is in favor of the establishment party, or the establishment part of the party, is very much behind Teresa Greenfield. Yeah, she's a farmer from Iowa and really isn't threatening to any of the voters in Iowa. similar to kind of how Biden is viewed as not being threatening to people. What I mean by that is that when you talk about Joe Biden, for the most part, people aren't necessarily scared of him like they were of Hillary Clinton back in 2016, where people said, I don't like Hillary Clinton whatsoever. I don't like her. I don't like Donald Trump. I guess I'll either sit out this election or maybe even vote for Trump. In fact, if we looked at data back in 2016, that happened quite a bit, where people who didn't like either of the candidates tended to side with Donald Trump. So Joe Biden is a little bit different, since he is not really scaring anyone into not voting for them, at least among a lot of people who are registered and likely voters. And what we're seeing in Iowa is kind of a similar effect. Teresa Greenfield, being a farmer from the state of Iowa, not really threatening to anybody. Also Montana, kind of the same deal. You have Steve Bullock, who is the current Democratic governor, challenging the incumbent Republican Senator Steve Daines, running a very solid campaign, for the most part, staying out of trouble for now. And that's true of all of these Democrats I'm talking about, whether it's Greenfield, Bullock, or Mark Kelly. Yeah, they're doing a nice job being non-controversial, not making any statements that's going to get them into trouble. It's working for them so far. But typically, if we look at the history of political campaigns, staying safe usually doesn't turn out that well. Sometimes it works, but oftentimes it doesn't. So for now, it's working. But there are examples of other races where the establishment part of the Democratic Party has gotten behind candidates that aren't doing so well. And one of them, and this race has really popped up on the radar, is John Hickenlooper in Colorado. Hickenlooper is the former governor of Colorado who ran for president back in 2019, dropped out of the campaign as he was trying to run down that moderate lane of the party. And he is someone who has not run a good campaign. Just looking at some of the issues he has, he was cited for failing to appear before a Colorado Independent Ethics Commission, where he was fined a little over $2,700 for two violations dating back to his second term as governor. But then the bigger issues he has is that when asked about Black Lives Matter, he made a statement along the lines of saying, "Every life matters," which is pretty much a cardinal sin to say. By the way, a stupid statement to make anyways. He's also made statements going back to the last presidential debates in 2019 when referring to the oil and gas industry. He said, "We can't demonize every business." And if I remember back even in 2019 when he was running for president, I remember him kind of stumbling on this question about, "Are you a socialist?" So yeah, candidate quality does matter, and Hickenlooper is struggling. By the way, he's facing off against a challenger, Andrew Romanov, who is the former state House Speaker who has the support of many progressives in the party, including more of the kind of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders side of the aisle. So that one's coming up on June 30th. So I just point that out because candidate quality does matter when you look at some of these races, whether they're moderate or whether progressive. I'm oftentimes looking at, well, are they actually talented politicians? Do they know how to run a campaign? And as we've seen, some of the more moderate candidates out there are running good campaigns, and some of the other moderates not running such good campaigns, including Hickenlooper in Colorado. One more to highlight before we go to your phone calls and take a break is what's happening in Kentucky, because they are having a primary for their Senate race for the Democratic nomination tomorrow. Now, the establishment candidate, who is being endorsed by Chuck Schumer and other prominent Democrats, is someone by the name of Amy McGrath. She is a former fighter pilot and has raised an absolute ton of money, $19 million to be exact, which is more than double the amount that the last Democratic challenger to Mitch McConnell raised back in 2014. So she's raised a ton of money and has the support of a lot of the bigwig Democratic politicians, including Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and others. But she's facing a challenge from the more progressive Charles Booker, who has the endorsement of AOC, Bernie Sanders, and just today, Elizabeth Warren. Now, again, going back to this idea of candidate quality, Amy McGrath struggling again when asked a number of questions. She actually, dating back to when she first announced her campaign to run for the Senate in Kentucky, said that she would have supported Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination, only to reverse herself less than a day later. That was the day she announced she was running. When asked about Brett Kavanaugh, she said initially, "Oh yeah, I would vote for him to be on the Supreme Court," before reversing course. And I point that out because this is similar to what we saw happen in Kentucky in 2014, when Democrats also thought they had a chance to take out Mitch McConnell. Back in 2014, the Democratic candidate running against Mitch McConnell was someone by the name of Allison Lundegren Grimes. And polling dating up to October showed the race very tight. In fact, a few polls even showed Lundegren Grimes leading Mitch McConnell. But what sunk her campaign was just running away from basic Democratic ideals. In fact, it got to the point when asked whether Lundegren Grimes had even voted for Barack Obama in 2012, she wouldn't even say that she went that far as to voting for Obama in 2012. And guess what? She ended up losing that race against McConnell by a double-digit margin. And looking at this other candidate who is favored by the more centrist establishment part of the party, Amy McGrath, reminds me a lot of what we saw in 2014 when our hopes were up that Mitch McConnell can be defeated, but then you get a moderate Democrat who's not exactly running the best campaign, and it ends up fizzling out. So, case in point, if you're looking for two progressives to support in the upcoming primaries, maybe you want to send some money or somehow do like some virtual campaigning, I would check out Charles Booker. This is the guy that is running in the Kentucky Democratic primary that has the endorsements of AOC, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. And also check out this guy in Colorado, Andrew Romanoff, who is running against John Hickenlooper for the Democratic nomination, as he has more of a support from the progressive side of the aisle. And again, just going back to what I was saying, it even just goes beyond the idea of the fact that I'm more progressive than centrist. I also look at the idea of candidate quality and the skill of politicians. And as I look at people like McGrath and also Hickenlooper, I'm not quite seeing that type of political skill there. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Feel free to call in during the show if you have some thoughts on that. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to switch gears, though, and talk about COVID-19 in Minnesota. I have some news to pass along with that. We're also going to be talking about what happened or what didn't happen in the state legislature this past week in terms of not getting a bonding bill and then, well, not getting anything done with police reform, which I've said before, police reform is mostly going to happen at the local and to a lesser degree at the state level, not so much what's going to happen at the national or even the state level. It's mostly going to come at your local city council. But even the most basic reforms that were being proposed at the state legislature with police didn't even end up getting through. Hey, before we head to break, let's talk to Rich in Tempe, Arizona, who, of course, is right in the thick of that Arizona Senate race I was referring to just a few minutes ago. So let's bring Rich in here. What are you thinking about today, Rich?
Well, can you make the Senate race all over with? Because it's aggravating. There's tons and tons and tons of TV commercials on all the local shows, and I don't know what the truth is. And the astronaut is accused about connections with China companies and this and that and everything. And so I don't know what the truth is, but it's constant commercials all the time.
I kind of missed what you were saying at the top of what you were bringing up there, Rich. What was your question again?
About trying to end the Senate race.
End the Senate
because
race.
Because the TV commercials are just aggravating.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're getting inundated with commercials for Mark Kelly or Martha McSally is what you're saying?
Yeah, so I don't know what the truth is. And mm-hmm. He's accused of some type of China connection and business connection. I don't know what the truth is. Do you know what it is?
I'm not an expert on Arizona politics, so unfortunately I can't provide you much insight. I would just try your best to do some research online, but I would at least throw this out there. Like I was talking about with Mark Kelly, at least from what I've seen, he skews a little bit more moderate than my preference. But Martha McSally is someone who is very much behind the Trump administration. In fact, Trump is going to be speaking in Arizona, as you're aware, coming up later this week. And I know McSally is big behind him. So, yeah, just knowing what we've seen from the Trump administration, I would probably not really believe much of what I'm hearing from the McSally campaign.
And I don't know anything explicitly, but knowing he's an astronaut, and I've actually heard about him a little bit, mm-hmm. being an astronaut, not politically, but I would wonder if maybe he has maybe ties scientifically, because a lot of times astronauts and NASA will work with China or the European Space Agency or even Russia in a scientific collaboration. So I would look into that. Again, I don't know anything. I haven't looked into it myself, but I would look and really make sure that they're not trying to blow up like a scientific collaboration and turn that into like some backdoor deal. That might be something that I would look for sure.
That's actually a really great point, Sam, because, yeah, with Mark Kelly being a former astronaut, yeah, you can probably make those connections saying, oh, well, look, he worked with the Chinese Space Agency, even though that's something that often happens when we talk about space exploration.
Right. That's a very common occurrence for NASA to work with all different kinds of international, like, foreign agencies with their space agencies, because space exploration is very expensive.
Yeah, I didn't think of that, so.
That's why you're going for that big-time degree there, Sam, and not me.
Yeah, I pay attention. I don't know anything about his politics, but I know him and his brother, and they actually, there was a big experiment they did together because they're twins, and one was in space, one was down here, and I know about the scientific aspects of him.
All right, appreciate the phone call there, Rich in Tempe, Arizona, listening through our TuneIn app. We're going to take a break, come on back with your phone calls, get you a little COVID news here in Minnesota, and also talk about the state legislature and what did and didn't happen over the weekend. You're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake would like to say Pinigigi for all your support these last 3 years. We discuss national and local Native news and events. Weekly correspondents bring us updates and information from all over Turtle Island.
Native Roots Radio I'm Awake is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays live 1 to 3. Free Leonard Peltier.
The Minnesota Army National Guard salutes the high school graduating class of 2020. We recognize all of your hard work and the resilience you've demonstrated during this historic time for our country. Those are the traits of a great citizen soldier. You can continue to stand out and be a leader in your community as a soldier in the Minnesota Army National Guard. Learn more about the benefits of part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM 950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM 950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
So putting politics aside, I can respect someone who is a smart candidate and who has some political skill. And that's what I'm seeing out of at least some of these Senate candidates. But then, of course, we have the cases of John Hickenlooper and Amy McGrath down in Kentucky who haven't quite shown a lot of political astuteness. So those are two races to watch later on this month. In fact, like I brought up, that Kentucky primary is taking place tomorrow, where we have Charles Booker, endorsed by many members of the progressive side of the aisle, running against Amy McGrath. And I would probably be hoping that Charles Booker ends up winning that race, even though he doesn't have the fundraising numbers of McGrath. But, yeah, if you don't have any political skill, all that money you raise doesn't necessarily do you a lot of good. And just one final thought on, respecting political skill. I suppose that can come back and bite you sometimes, because maybe if you get moderate Democrats in there that have political skill, well, then could increase the chance that they could get through some legislation that isn't exactly that great. So let's go to the phone lines and talk to Randy in St. Cloud, who has some thoughts on what's happening, it looks like, down in Kentucky. Hey there, Randy.
Well, you teed that up perfectly. You started by kind of saying that the Senate was, you felt, maybe more important than even the presidential.
For sure. Yep.
But be careful what you wish for, because this whole blue no matter who manure pile is what brought us Obamacare. Max Baucus was a senator from Montana, extremely moderate, took the most money of any senator in the United States at the time from health care companies. He gave us the Heritage Foundation, Mitt Romney, health care program called Obamacare. And that's what we're going to get if we, like the Amy McGrath, she wants to run to the right of Mitch McConnell because she says he gets in the way of Trump's agenda too often. It's like, are you... Who are you? What are you doing?
That doesn't even go quite to even talking about what her politics are. That just goes to a lack of political skill, as I'm observing there. That's a terrible position to take.
Well,
no one's going to vote for her on the Democratic side. I mean, that doesn't fire anyone up.
I can't imagine.
And that's what happened to Lundgren Grimes back in 2014 when people thought, oh, we finally got a candidate who can knock off Mitch McConnell, and she still ended up losing by, I think, 15 points or something
A ton. What that guy from Arizona pointed out is when you get flooded with commercials on TV, if your political education is from TV, you're never going to know what's going on because they're allowed to make stuff up. They can lie, and nobody does anything about it. So you can't get your political knowledge from TV because there's none. You're not going to get any. And the one thing that you did miss was Elliot Engel and
that's
Jamal
the house
Bauman.
Side, yeah.
Oh my God! Talk about, he's been elected 16 times. He's got absolutely no political astuteness at. I mean, the only reason I want to speak here is because I have a primary. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. That was at a Black Lives Matter rally.
It's just one of those cases where, he represents a very safe district. So as long as he doesn't face a primary challenger, which thankfully he is this year, he doesn't need to take any positions that might get him in hot water, at least in terms of what's happening in Washington. But
right, and he's getting funding from Republican PACs. It's like, we got our own Dean Phillips. He's supporting, let's cut Social Security because those old people, they can make up the difference. Just get another job. I mean, what's the problem? Come on.
All right, Randy, we're going to have to leave it there. Yeah, still have to talk to Dean Phillips about that. Hopefully get some comment from him because I hope if he gets enough pressure on these cuts to Social Security that he'll change his position on this, similar to that guy in Washington State who also signed that letter, who as soon as he was called out on that and faced a primary challenger, he immediately backed away from those cuts to Social Security. Let's get one more phone call in before we head to break. We got Gary in Minneapolis. Hey, Gary.
Yeah, I kind of, in a way, disagree with you about the presidential race. You get a real popular guy, he sweeps in the Senate House with him. And Trump seems to be pulling him down, so this might be a good year. I can't tell for sure, but you never know what these voters are going to do. Randy said, you run a second Republican or Republican light against a real Republican. The real Republican wins all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another Truman statement. Republicans don't vote on the issues. They vote on God and country, the flag, and all that other stuff. So it's hard to beat them because they have billionaire funding, Alec and others, that own control the airways so much, and the billionaires own all the media stations on TV. That's why I like this station, that you aren't that way. And then that Citizens United made a lot worse. Maybe we get a couple. There's some of them judges are getting real old now. There's a Thomas and maybe another one on the Republican side. And then there's the woman who had cancer and the older guy that's been on for years. So we got to be careful about losing that court anymore we have.
And that's a good point, Gary, and I appreciate the phone call. So the reason why I say I pay attention more to the Senate than the presidency is that if you lose the presidency but have control of the Senate, you can block court appointments, whether that's on the district courts, the appellate courts, or even the Supreme Court. At least in theory, you can. It does take some backbone from whoever is in your party's leadership, and whether that is true with someone like a Chuck Schumer, if he were to somehow become Senate Majority Leader and have Trump in office, that would remain to be seen. But we saw Mitch McConnell do that exact thing when he was the majority leader and Obama was president. He was blocking all sorts of court appointments. And the reason why I again say that, I pay attention more to the Senate than the presidency. You almost can benefit more by having the Senate than the presidency, because when you don't hold the White House, whichever party doesn't hold the White House, they typically do better down ballot. And that trickles down to every single race, whether you're talking about Congress or even the state and the local level. If you don't hold the White House, you typically do better down ballot. And by at least in theory controlling the Senate, you can block some of those court appointments. Now, whether the leadership of the party has the spine to do that, that's a very valid point to bring up. That's why I kind of wish sometimes the Dems would have the spine of someone like a Mitch McConnell.
Do you think if we got the Senate, do you think they would go Chuck Schumer, or do you think they would try and do something like a Kamala Harris?
He's so enshrined in there, Chuck Schumer, it's very tough to take out a majority leader. The only time that's really happened where a member of leadership has been toppled in Congress was back in 15 when John Boehner ended up getting toppled. But even then, it was a compromise that was drawn up, because looking at 2015, it was the Tea Party that led that movement to try to oust John Boehner. They didn't end up getting their Tea Party person as the head of the Republican Party or the Speaker of the House. They ended up having to go with a compromise, Paul Ryan, who is pretty much the exact same as John Boehner. So, yeah, it's a good point. You could maybe oust Chuck Schumer, but that would still be extremely difficult, being that many members of the Democratic Senate caucus like Chuck Schumer. And even if you were to oust him, you would probably just get someone like a Dick Durbin in there or something like that. My ultimate conspiracy theory, which would have been the best thing to do on the progressive side of the Democratic Party, would have been either in 2020 or even dating back to 2016 when Bernie Sanders was threatening Hillary Clinton. Strike a bargain with the Democratic leadership. Say, Bernie Sanders will not run for president if you make him the leader of the Democratic Senate caucus. That would have been kind of an ingenious thing to do.
That would have been really interesting.
Yeah. In 16, that would have had much more effect when he was posing a much bigger threat to Hillary Clinton back in the 16 election cycle. But no one asked me about political strategy back then. All right, we're going to take a break and come on back. We're going to get to the state legislature, talk about what didn't happen last week, and some other local stories here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. Quality and low prices are benchmarks of Rudy Luther. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty and feature incredibly low interest rates. This June, you can get financing at 0% on certified used RAV4s and Camrys for well-qualified buyers. But remember, this offer is only good for June. Find your next car today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The local advertisers you hear on AM 950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM 950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows it's June when us Minnesotans finally stop talking about how cold it is and start talking about how hot it is, which is the perfect time for Standard's Summer Is Here sale. During June, you can save $900 on a new air conditioner with payments as low as $47 a month or 0% financing. Find out more about these great savings at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hi, this is Laura. Thank you for listening to AM 950. People have been calling us and letting us know how important we are. We are here for you. You are here for us. As we look to the future, let's build a stronger local business economy. Do you know of a business that could benefit from connecting with the AM 950 audience? Is there a product or service that you wish you could buy from an AM 950 advertiser? Let us know. So call us with your ideas and suggestions. Our number is 952-946-8885. Also, we are an affordable form of mass media. We offer a safe public place. So if you know of any group that might be interested in communicating via AM 950, also let us know. Annual meetings, community outreach, public auctions, podcasts, spiritual well-being program, recovery. AM 950 is able to air live or taped messages. AM 950 also reaches people without internet. And remember, more people listen to radio than any other medium, about 92% of adults. So Radio Connects. If you want to know more, give us a call, 952-946-8885, or go to Laura at am950radio.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 75. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 58. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 76. And Wednesday, sunny with a high around 78. And with bars and restaurants set to reopen for both indoor and outdoor seating, make sure you consider our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants for the next time you go out. All of those restaurants are locally owned and operated, and they have a wide variety of food and drinks you can choose from. Find a full list of all of those restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Yeah. Wah. Back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, a Monday edition of the show. Let's switch focus and talk about some state and local politics. So the Senate adjourned on Friday, and we had no action taken on police reform whatsoever. Now, I do want to caution, I sound like a broken record on this, any police reform we're going to get is going to happen on the city and local level, at least significant police reform or changes to the police. But the state legislature was set to take up at least a few measures, but even that couldn't get through the Republican-controlled Senate. So there was the sheet of paper that was put out by the Senate Republican Caucus, which gave a list of initiatives they would support and a list of initiatives they would not support. So among the things they would support is just a pile of things that really don't do a whole lot. They would support continued funding for enhanced training for law enforcement officers in crisis intervention, cultural diversity, and mental illness. How much more training can we possibly give police officers? I mean, this is even a criticism of the Obama administration. We were supposed to be a leader on police reform with all of these new training procedures that were put in place. Ultimately, they didn't really do a whole lot. We still see a ton of police complaints, and we still unfortunately see more police violence in Minneapolis and the entire state of Minnesota. So yeah. Yet more training is not going to do a whole lot of good. One of our callers from a few weeks ago brought up a good point. It's not the training, it's the recruitment of what it comes down to with police officers. That's a much more important factor than just trying to train them. If you have an implicit bias against someone or a group of people, training is not going to solve that if you have that ingrained in your head that you are going to be prejudiced against a group of people. Other initiatives that they were going to support in the GOP-controlled Senate were mandating reporting of deadly force incidents to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Okay, good. So you can report when these incidents happen. Does anything even come out of that if you report these incidents? Yeah, again, you can report all of the incidents you want, but if no actions are taken on them, doesn't really do you a whole lot of good. Also supported was banning chokeholds and neck restraints through a uniform policy on use of force. Yeah, probably good to ban chokeholds and neck restraints at the state level. But are there any teeth on these so-called abolitions of these things? Because you can ban these all you want and have them in statute, but if they're not going to be enforced and there's no teeth on the laws, not going to do you a whole lot of good. A couple more to highlight in terms of what the Senate and Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said they would support. They would also support instructing officers to preserve the sanctity of life and use of non-deadly force whenever possible. That is like the most vague statement I think could possibly make.
The sad part, too, is that's something you think that they should have wanted to be doing this whole... That's like saying, you know, we're going to start telling our officers that people should be alive if they can be. Like,
yeah.
Why do you have to say that? That should just be a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, why do you need a policy for that in the first place? And even putting that there is such a vague statement. All right, we're going to support the sanctity of life when it comes to performing police acts. Okay, what does that mean? And isn't that kind of just a basic human standard, for God's sake? What the Senate said that they would not support, again, these are the things they would said they would not support, according to Paul Gazelka. Restoring voting rights for felons not currently incarcerated. I've never quite gotten why we have to ban felons from having the right to vote. If you've served your time, have the right to vote. Or, as I said, I take it a step further. Those incarcerated should have even more of an incentive to vote since they are, for the most part, in a state-run prison and have the most at stake when it comes to elections.
And I think a good point on that is when we look at kind of go backtrack off the police, but back onto coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you've heard and we've been hearing a lot how some of the biggest hotspots are in prisons.
Right.
And we hear about these prison like riots essentially because they have no other option. They have no recourse. They don't even get a vote to vote on their conditions. And they're in just these awful conditions where there's absolutely no chance at social distancing, not enough soap and all that stuff. And they don't even get a vote on it. So that's right there is a glaring reason why prisoners, even though they're incarcerated, they still deserve a vote. They deserve a say because our votes affect their lives. And if they don't have any option, well, then of course they're going to riot. Like, they're supposed mm-hmm. to just die?
Yeah, and that's the absolute minimum you can at least give to prisoners is the right to vote. As you alluded to, yeah, there's so many other problems with what we're seeing and COVID-19 in the prison system. I mean, gee, what could go wrong when you keep a whole bunch of people in a tightly enclosed indoor space amid a pandemic that is being spread by being airborne? Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that? Continuing on what the Republican leadership of the Minnesota Senate said they would not support, anything that defunds or dismantles a police force. That wasn't even being proposed at the state level. I don't even think you could defund or dismantle the police department, any police department at the state level.
Maybe the state patrol, but that's,
one's even asking to defund the state patrol, for God's sake. So that, yeah, just in there as a pure political talking point. And then this one, they said that they would also not support providing the attorney general with independent jurisdiction for the prosecution of police-involved deaths. I would even take that a step further, saying that I don't know who you need to prosecute in these types of cases, but even the attorney general a lot of times still has connections to law enforcement. But yet we can't even take this small step of having at least an independent prosecutor when it comes to police-involved deaths. So, yeah, that's the Republican-controlled Senate for you. Didn't take up any of the measures or even debate any of the measures that were proposed by the Democratic-controlled People of Color Caucus on the House side and both the Senate side, yeah, didn't take up any of those measures whatsoever. And these are just the bare minimum things we could possibly be doing. Like I said, at the state level, you're not going to see a whole lot happen with the police, but we couldn't even take these very, very minimal reforms with police that for the most part wouldn't even solve many of the issues, but at least would be somewhat of a step in the right direction. I ultimately think we need much more drastic action, but even these small baby steps were way too much for members of the state legislature.
I think a big frustrating part is what you just brought up, too, is how there is a person of women or a person of color in women's caucus there.
Yeah.
And their voice, again, still isn't being heard at all. I know my senator, Patricia Torres-Ray, had a statement of just where you can see her frustration of we were there. We had suggestions and, again, totally ignored. They weren't outrageous suggestions by any means.
Right.
None of them were calling to defund and abolish the police there. But their voices, again, the protests are all here about black and indigenous people of color. Like, they have their caucus and they're still not being heard. And it's like, come on, Republican senators, really? Zelka?
Yeah. And one of the things they were proposing among the proposals they made with the People of Color Caucus was, again, providing that authority for the attorney general to prosecute people in police-involved deaths. Couldn't even go that much. Because you can certainly see there's a conflict of interest if you have a county prosecutor trying to prosecute the police when they're, for the most part, in other cases, using the police to prosecute those cases. That's a pretty simple thing to say, but like we were talking about, that was still a step too far for the Republican senators here in Minnesota. All right, we're going to take a break. Come on back with a few more miscellaneous stories. You're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Listen to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake every Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Each Saturday, we have guests speaking their truth from all over Turtle Island. Support comes from Mitchell Hamlin School of Law on beautiful Summit Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota. At Mitchell Hamlin, law students can stay in their communities and specialize in Indian law. They can complete their JD full-time, part-time, in-person, and online. Learn more at mitchellhamlin.edu.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are on at 6 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. on Sunday. We feature artists, musicians, raconteurs, private detectives, and more. 6 p.m. Saturday night on AM 950.
Wall of Power Radio.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and right now with so much fear, uncertainty, anxiety, and real problems, I mean, people are facing hunger, there's depression, there's anxiety, what else is there? There's climate change, there's the soil going corrupt. How do we connect with each other? How do we take this moment of crisis and take a sad song and make it better? That's what we're talking about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to us Saturdays at 8 a.m. or Sundays at 11 or anytime on podcast, Food Freedom Radio.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, back on the final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Matt McNeil going to be out for the next several days, and someone who is going to be filling in for Matt the next 4 days is Gregory Rich, who you probably know from Drink in the Style. He's going to be in studio coming up filling in for Matt in just a few minutes. I might even stick around in studio and chat with Greg during the show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Gregory Rich of Drink in the Style, filling in for Matt McNeil for 4 days this week. I think he's got today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Filling in for McNeil, getting a much-needed break here from the station. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So over the weekend, we had another mass shooting. This time it took place in the Uptown area Saturday night into Sunday morning, where one person was killed and 11 other people sustained injuries from a shooting. No one has been arrested yet, but we have the identity, it looks like, at least through social media, of the one person who was killed, Cody C. Pollard, age 27, father of two small children, and also a barber at a shop called Cody Lock by Friends. The 11 survivors, all adults, were scattered at area hospitals with wounds of varying severity, but all were expected to survive. So, Sam, already we're hearing some talking points, at least I've heard about this, saying, well, see what happened in Minneapolis? This is why we can't defund the police, because we're having all of these shootings that are taking place in the area. And if you stop and think about this for a second, Sam, I think you're on board on this, because you brought up this point on another show. The police didn't prevent this shooting. They didn't stop the active shooter in this case.
Let's keep in mind those people who are saying that, as our last segment we just talked about. Nothing has changed at the police. They haven't been defunded yet. There was nothing in that bill, and when the Senate was there, that said the police, they're still there, and they, as you just mentioned, they didn't stop it. And I'd argue their goal isn't, we think of them as crime prevention, but they're not. They're like crime punishment, but they're not crime prevention, and they weren't, no matter how much money they have, they're not going to prevent that shooting from happening.
Mm-hmm. And think about it, too. Whenever you hear about a shooting that takes place, not just in Minneapolis, but around the entire state of Minnesota or around the entire country, how often do the police actually come in and stop an active shooter? Yeah, it happens every once in a while, but for the most part, yeah, that idea of crime prevention never takes place. As you said, it's crime punishment. So, yeah, in this case, you certainly should have what happened investigated, but that's the job for investigators, not necessarily the police department itself.
And even when the police get there to try and stop it, that in and of itself is a pretty dangerous situation, because now you have police shooting at someone who's probably shooting back at police. And I know that there's been cases where innocent people sitting in their homes have been shot because of a police shootout that's going on. That why would you like want to subject the community to something like that too? I don't. There's a lot with that.
Yeah, exactly. And just going back to the idea how the police often don't stop shootings, that sometimes isn't even necessarily their own fault, because shootings are unpredictable events. No one goes on social media or announces to the world, for the most part, hey, I'm going to go shoot a whole bunch of people. So even if you have technically what's called competent police officers, they're still oftentimes not going to get there in time to prevent a shooting, just because the nature of how that works. Shootings aren't predictable. So, yeah, that's just been something that's been bugging me as I've been hearing that talking point. Well, see, we can't defund the police because of all these shootings we've had in Minneapolis, when, for the most part, yeah, the police aren't going to even prevent these shootings in the first place, whether they wanted to or not. All right, Gregory Rich is filling in for Matt McNeil up next on AM 950.